recording of June 28, 2017, regular Board of Directors meeting, 4 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
I've got to find my stuff here. We're going to go ahead and call to order the regular Board of Directors meeting. It's June 28, 2017 at 4 p.m. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. On roll call, we have currently present, we have Director Crawford, Director Chastain, Director Reeves, and myself. And Director Cooper and Director Parks are...
Would you mind getting them?
The meeting has started. Thank you. And Director Henderson has requested an excused absence for June 28, 2017. So let's go ahead and can I have a motion for an excused absence for Director Henderson?
Motion to excuse his absence.
Okay. And the second, there's a motion, a second for an excused absence for Director Henderson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, Director Henderson granted an excused absence. He's also designated Cece Cooper to sign his expense report. Yeah, and my condolences to their family on the death of Jim's father. So we'll see him when we see him. An acting secretary for tonight's meeting.
Did you want to do a quick 5-minute tutorial on this app, or are we just gonna, is everybody comfortable just going right into it?
We're rolling.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get it at the end.
Okay.
Do we need to do one? I mean, how comfortable are you guys? It's, what?
It'll be okay.
It'll be okay.
Okay.
If we need an app, if we need a demonstration, we'll let you know. Acting secretary, so Director Henderson is the secretary, and so we need an acting secretary. Stuart, you're now the secretary for tonight's meeting. All right, moving right along, let's go. Also present, well, he said Director Parks and Director Cooper. Let's go to bear safety. What a timely topic.
So my name is Taylor Crocker. I'm your safety specialist, and sitting for Marty Freeman. It was a very timely topic. We actually picked this topic for this month over a year ago, and unfortunately, it's made the news quite a few times in the last couple weeks. So I wanted to start off with some statistics, because a lot of times we get really kind of scared, maybe, before we were going in the woods after reading a bunch of articles about people getting killed by bears and getting mauled by bears. So from 2010 to 2017, and this is in the whole United States, there's been 9 deaths by black bear and 11 deaths by brown bears. In Alaska, from 2010 to 2017, three of those last deaths were in Alaska, and then three for black bears, 2 for brown bears. So there's been a total of 5 people killed by bears in the last 7 years. The top 2 ways to get killed by bears are either hiking or hunting. And a lot of the hunting accidents with bears involve when you're out moose hunting or hunting for something else, getting surprised by the bear and then getting attacked. You're not prepared for the bear. So bears can run at 44 feet per second. So on a lot of these trails, you can't even see 44 feet, and so they can come up on you pretty quick.
Dang. Black and brown bears run about the same speed?
You know, that's actually for brown bears. I'm not sure what the exact speed is for black bears. But so a lot of people wonder, you know, what do I do if I see a bear? And so the best thing to do if you see a bear is stay calm. You really don't want to start running away, because then the bear sees you as a target and will chase you down, kind of like if your dog sees a rabbit running away, it's going to chase it. So you want to stay calm, kind of look at the whole situation, figure out what your escape route is. A lot of times it's just going back on the same trail that you came in on. If you see a bear and it's not really paying a whole lot of attention to you, and you have the option of going around the bear on a path that's a ways from the trail that you're on, you can do that as well. But you always want to have a plan for if the bear actually is going to attack you. And so a lot of people carry bear spray, which is really good, and then some people carry firearms. So bear spray is actually better than carrying a firearm in a lot of cases because it's 90% effective. But there's still one person out of 10 that it wasn't effective with. And long guns are 76% effective and handguns are 84% effective. One thing that you have to worry about with firearms is making sure that you're prepared to use it with the accuracy and everything, because when the adrenaline's pumping through your body, there's a chance that you're not going to hit the target. So that's why, another reason why bear spray is the better choice. So bear spray can shoot about a 30-foot cloud of protection in front of you, and a lot of people you know, buy it off the shelf at Sportsman's Warehouse and then put it in their backpack. But one of the problems with having it in your backpack is it's not accessible. You have to actually take your backpack off, dig it out if you see a bear. So having it readily accessible either on the front of your person, a lot of runners I've seen actually have this Nathan running vest, which are really nice because they can have their water in the camelback and then their bear spray right on the chest. But having it accessible and then making sure you know how to use it. So with bear spray, there's a little safety cap on here. It comes from the factory with a zip tie around this. And so if you don't take that zip tie off, you're going to have a hard time, you know, getting it armed. So, and by the way, this is a nerd. I didn't want to accidentally set it off here in your board meeting. But you just unclip this, and then all of a sudden it's ready to use. And once you hit this button, it'll spray in the direction you're pointing it. 30 feet, and it'll make a nice cloud. But the first thing you want to do when a bear is coming at you is spray it a little bit on the ground, because just from smelling it, the bear might turn around and leave. So just one quick burst on the ground. If that doesn't work, then another quick burst at the bear's face. And then if that still doesn't work, then just hold it down and keep spraying the bear until the can's gone, and hopefully the bear leaves. But that's not the end. So unfortunately, one of the accidents that we've recently had, they deployed the bear spray, but then they stayed in the area. So once you deploy the bear spray, it's actually been said that it'll attract bears from the pepper. And so you want to deploy it and then leave the area, and then tell other people as you're leaving the area not to go in that area because there's a bear present. And then change your plans for the rest of the day. If you're hiking down a trail, just do something else maybe, but just don't go back in that area where you saw the aggressive bear. Whether the bear was aggressive because it had cubs, or, you know, who knows why these black bears have been aggressive lately, if they're just hungry or whatnot. But to make sure that you guys are safe in the woods, I got everyone bear spray. Unfortunately, I was only able to get the last three cans that are in town. There's kind of a lot of people buying bear spray. But there's three cans of this inert training spray left, so it just has water in it. So if you're interested in you know, trying it out and actually seeing what the bear spray stream looks like, they're sitting over on the table too, and afterwards you can just spray these in the parking lot or wherever you want. But it's good to see kind of what the stream looks like, so you know when you're in the woods, you know, what kind of effect it's going to have at the last minute, because you're going to have a lot of adrenaline running through your mind. And it also works on moose. So I was actually riding my bike out in Crevasse Moraine one time, and I had a mama moose that was pretty adamant about attacking me, and I used my bear spray on it, and it just ran away faster than I've ever seen a moose run as well. So there's actually more deaths by moose than bears in the U.S.
Did you immediately leave the area then?
Exactly.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah, bike, of course.
And then the other thing I should mention is the bear spray is kind of an oily substance, and it can easily waft into your eyes. So a lot of people that use bear spray then can't see anything. So it's good to have a water bottle on your person and maybe some soap. So you can put the soap in there, shake it up, get it in your eyes so you can see again. Because you're not always going to be checking the wind direction constantly while you're on your hike. And when the bear is attacking, you don't really get to pick your position. Any questions?
Questions. Great.
Right, thank you.
So I have a question. So does I have, you know, bear spray in my garage all over, and I bring it with me, but some of it's 10 years old. I mean, is there a time limit on this stuff?
Yes. Each can has the expiration date printed on the side of the can.
And about how long is it?
You know, I think it's probably like 5 or 6 years.
Okay. Well, the guy who was biking, I think his friend said he had some bear spray that was super old, but he tried it anyway and it worked. So I guess, okay, so it does have an expiration. Yeah. So another question I have, who do we call? So I was backing out of my driveway and I saw a mama black bear and 3 little babies going to my neighbor's garage. So I thought I could honk the horn, but that would probably be counterproductive to their safety. Or I could do whatever. So I called 911. What are we supposed to do if we see bears in our neighborhood or getting into a garage or a can or something?
So that's a great question. And I just read the ADN article with APD is getting overrun with calls. In fact, off in Turpin, they had like 19 calls in one day for one bear. So they want you to call a fishing game.
Okay.
And so fishing game will come out, and if it's a problem bear, they'll take care of it, or they'll give you instructions on how to do it.
Well, the fishing game eventually called me, but it was about 45 minutes later, and of course, yeah, I know the bear's already gone, but I don't know, 4 bears walking into a garage. I mean, are you supposed to alert the people? Like, it was my neighbors, but I don't have their phone number. What is the right thing to do in a case like that when you see something that could present a problem for somebody else?
Well, in the paper this morning.
What?
Exactly what you're supposed to do. There's like
what?
A website for fishing game.
There's like 2 different phone numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the ant, that's the ant.
Well, but if you have to react quickly, I mean, if the bears are going to attack someone, then you can, you know, spray them maybe with bear spray if you have it. Make some noise, try to scare them off.
Okay. Or the or I get new neighbors, apparently.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for the goodies, too. Can update my bear spray supply. All right, let's go back to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Moved.
Okay, a motion is second. I think Cece got the second to approve the agenda. Any comments on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the agenda passes unanimously. Are there any persons to be heard? Other than scheduled persons to be heard. Okay, seeing none, let's move on to the consent agenda. Any comments or questions on the board calendar training? Make sure you get, basically, I know where most of us will be going to the NRECA Region 9 meeting. It's in Denver this year. The sooner we can register and get a decent hotel, the better off we are. So do check your calendars for that, as well as the winter school. Any comments or questions about the consent agenda? Okay, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion, a second, to approve the consent agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the consent agenda say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The consent agenda passes unanimously. All right, let's go on to CEO reports and correspondence. Typically, we just review this information, and if there's something that somebody wants to talk about, we will ask for further information. Are there any comments or questions? Can we just review a few of these since my iPad was being updated. I didn't get a chance to read these prior to the meeting. Does anybody have any questions on the annual meeting and election costs? Okay. Oh, whoa. Sorry. I guess I need a training. okay, rail belt rate comparison. I think that's pretty straightforward. O'Malley Road relocation update. Yes, Susan?
Yeah. So we have to pay $2.6 million. Oh, DOT reimbursable. All I had to read was the last 2 words. So it's part of the DOT project, and they give us our cost.
If anybody knows what they're doing, I sure would like to know, because I drive past there every day, at least once. And now there's this ditch on the north side that that's full of water, and it must be 30 feet deep. What?
South side.
North side. We're on the south side of O'Malley. The Chugach substation is on the south side, but that ditch that they're building where the kids...
Oh, by the baseball field.
Yeah, by the baseball. What are they doing? I'm suspicious. Come on, John.
Glad you brought that up.
I know they're doing, it seems like they're doing a lot of stuff. What are they doing?
So they are expanding that road from 2 lanes to 4 lanes. And when they need to expand it, there's a large amount of what's called organic, so it's peat, that is goes down quite a ways. Actually, a few years ago when we were siting Hain, we looked at Chili Pepper Field, which is on the north side there.
On the north side.
And we decided not to do that because of all the peat that's there.
Uh-huh.
However, the road is already there, so they couldn't really move the road when they expanded it, so they are digging down, quite a ways down.
Yeah.
That's why we moved all of our facilities out of the way so they could do that. So it is going down quite deep there. The organics, when we did our soil samples, were well below 40 feet. And it's all its roots and trees and organic. So it's basically topsoil. And it is. It's all topsoil. So they got to get all that out, and then they'll backfill it with good dirt. It's classified dirt. It's called Type 2. But that's what they're doing. And that's why we had to move all our stuff out of the way.
Yeah. And that's the $2.6 million hit, huh?
Right, for moving our stuff further to the north while they dig, and then we will go back.
Okay. Was that part of the original scope, or were they surprised to find that much peat?
They knew there was a lot of peat.
Okay. So what's the impact to our Hain substation, other than now it's in full view of everything?
That should be the only impact. Yes, they removed the vegetation to expand the road. So...
We didn't know that before, okay. Or did we? All right, any other questions on Hain substation or the O'Malley road relocation?
Should be done this year, the road.
I keep forgetting to, you know, that's my go-to route, and I keep forgetting. I go down it every day, and I go...
And it will be closed, just FYI. They are completely closing O'Malley in July.
That'll make
more.
Help me train me.
Of course. Come on.
That section, they'll still have business access so everybody can get home or to their business, but there are sections that will be completely closed.
How far up are they making it 4 lanes?
Well, the plan is to go all the way up to Hillside Drive eventually, but that's phase two. Phase one is just past Hain. After Hain, it'll start tapering down.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the update. Any other questions on that?
Phase 2 requires to relocate?
Yeah, phase 2 is out of ways. We haven't gotten drawings, but I'm guessing that it will impact because we have 34.5 and 12.5 and our transmission.
But do we get to tell them our estimate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll reimburse
again.
They'll reimburse us. We work with them. Okay. Yeah. There'll be a whole planning phase and then the construction. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so now sustainability policy member survey update. I didn't get a chance to read this. Did somebody read this before? Oh.
We have hoped to have an update, and it's in the hands of the consultant at this point, so we don't have it quite put together, okay. But we hope to have it very soon.
Okay.
And so we'll get that out as soon as we get the report.
Do we think we'll have it by the next board meeting?
Yes, we will.
Okay. Okay, well, good thing I can read it. All right, thank you. Okay, let's go to director reports. Is that where we are?
Yep.
Nothing else? Did you have anything else to add on CEO correspondence?
I did not. I guess I will share that we met, we had a Bradley Lake Project Management Committee meeting today, and we did approve a resolution moving forward with the Battle Creek project. And then tomorrow morning we have a meeting with the Alaska Energy Authority Board and kind of walking them through some of the things that we're looking at. So Chugach is going to volunteer to manage the project. And then we're still looking at different financing options, looking at the Krebs financing. But with Krebs we get 1.5% interest, which is good. But to do that we have to finance with AEA has to actually do the financing because you have to be the owner of the asset. So that's something we're taking a look at and seeing whether they can do that or not.
So will AEA in all cases be the owner of the asset?
They will be no matter what.
Okay. Any other questions for Lee on that? Mm-hmm. Any other topics there? Okay, director reports. Our tech meeting, we did have an our tech meeting, I want to say last Thursday?
Friday?
Yeah, I thought it was a good meeting.
Yeah.
Lee, you want to kind of report on that?
Well, I did think it was a good meeting. We looked at, you know, what is the purpose of ArcTech, and we've kind of gone back and forth, and I think ultimately we decided is the best purpose for ArcTech right now is to support the efforts to do a what the USO or the RCC would be, Railbelt Reliability.
RC.
I'll get these acronyms down. But anyway, what we previously called the USO. So the effort with the USO is to, number one, adopt reliability standards, then look at standards enforcement, and then look at integrated resource planning for the rail belt. So that was really the focus, what we feel ArcTech can do. But ArcTech itself wouldn't be the RRC, but it would be the entity that would, I guess, incubate it and put it in place. The RRC would be a separate entity, and it would have not only utility participation, but it would have stakeholder or independent participation.
Are we going to talk about this further in executive session? Our strategy to implement that?
We certainly can.
Let's do that. So, make sure. But anyway, that was the gist of the ArcTech meeting. There are some other pieces we'll talk about in executive session, but are there any questions about the ArcTech meeting? I think we heard a little bit about the update on ATC. They're proceeding on a separate path with the Transco piece.
I believe all of the utilities have signed a form of memorandum of understanding, and that's basically to evaluate a business plan that makes economic sense for everybody. Then once that's done, we'll bring that back before the boards and see where we go from there.
Okay. Any questions on the ArcTech meeting? There's more to come in executive session. We can probably have some other discussion there. So board committee reports, audit and finance. I don't believe we've had an audit and finance committee meeting since our last board meeting, have we?
We did.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's the financial plan that we're going to approve later. Okay, did you want to report on anything other than the financial plan, which we'll be discussing later?
No, then I guess that was the reason for the meeting and most... except for Jim Warren. So, unless there are other questions.
Are there any questions about the audit and finance meeting? I believe we did elect Jim as vice chair at that meeting. I think that's another outcome from the meeting. Wasn't that then?
We did elect the vice chair because it was our first meeting.
Jim. And it was Jim Henderson. Correct, Connie? Yes, that's what I understand.
Yes.
Okay, so that was some business that was accomplished there. The rest of it will be the financial management plan that we will be discussing for action item, as an action item.
You already did. That's agenda. You already
good. God. See, if I don't have my stuff to read beforehand, okay. I'm usually better prepared. We did pass it. I like that. Wait. Okay, yes, we did. Okay, go on. Let's continue on then, operations and governance.
So we had a meeting the same night as the audit and finance committee meeting with everyone. Also, it was in early. There was a really long meeting, but we got lots and lots of information with regards to community solar, and we talked about Blue River and got a decent understanding things that are going on there in terms of the operating agreement. Good meeting, and we'll have some follow-ups to that, I'm sure, here in the near future. I don't have anything scheduled right now.
Okay. Any additions or comments or questions about the report on the operations committee? All right, governance.
I do have a question that I'd like to discuss with the board about the bylaws, and I'd like to do that in the executive session because it involves some personal issues.
Okay. We will take that up in the executive session then. Any other meeting reports? Any other conversations or meetings you'd like to talk about?
There was a new public policy committee meeting since the last board meeting. the only reason was to talk about a white paper that Chris Rose was tasked to write during the kind of like a strategic type of board meeting, quarterly board meeting, and it was just a short white paper on the whys of why is the keyword, you know, why is REAP involved in the utility undertaking, Nobel utility undertaking as it relates to USO and Transco. There were some, I forwarded the first draft to the board. I did get some comments from Brian. Overall, the comments from the other public policy committee members were kind of on the same page as to remove the paragraph on climate change as the why. But then it was just a discussion meeting. There was no vote. I think Chris will work on it some more and take more input from members and probably take another look at it at the next meeting. If you guys have any kind of any comments to the content of the white paper, I think there's still time to pass it on. But it was not on the mechanics of the organization. It was why it's important to be involved.
And as far as reporting meetings, Chris Rose did reach out to me, and I did have a lunch or snack with him. And he did talk about the white paper, did talk about REAP's frustration as an organization that the conversation hadn't progressed further, and that they're intending to press the issue to have that conversation at a bunch of different levels. I suggested then that we Lee in, and so Lee and I and Bettina and Chris met for a brief period of time. Lee rolled out some of his ideas on the RRC, and Chris is digesting and taking that information back to his group. He does the and now RTEC is also digesting that same, basically the same structure. It's basically the governance structure for whatever you're going to call it, the RRC or the USO, and so that's at issue. So I think the goal is to continue to work with REAP and other organizations of interested members and be inclusive and make sure we include them in the conversation so we don't have too many rogue things happening.
How was that received?
I think generally it was okay. I mean, there were, you know, like anybody when, because I think having REAP and we have examples, Center of the Environment and things like that, and there was concern that maybe there was too much focus on the environmental community. And they didn't mind one, but they didn't see the necessity for two. But that's been, I guess, the issue from the start, is what is the right governance structure, and that's what we really need to work on in the next
month. And how do you make decisions?
Right, and I think that when we reviewed all this last fall, we came up with internal plan. And the scenario, the governance structure that Lee presented is within the guidelines of our internal plan. So I don't think it's a...
I think the good message is that people are recognizing that we do need some either stakeholder independent participation. It's not just utilities. So I think we're really a long ways from...
It's funny, I was thinking about that the other day because it's been a long road and you think, oh my goodness, but then you think about where we started. Nobody ever heard the term, nobody ever heard of the, really thought about the concept, and now not only have people heard the terms and the concept, but they're supportive of more inclusivity. So that's a huge barge to turn. So we need to be celebrating some of at least our minor victories here. So anyway, I think it got a lot of traction. Lee did a really good job of balancing utility and stakeholder interests in his straw man. So we'll see how it's received and report on it next time to see how it's received. But it is within the context of what we decided as a group. Any other questions about that or comments about that? Alrighty, moving right along. Any other meeting reports? Okay, hearing none. Well, we have no unfinished business. Under new business, we have a presentation by our friends at APA. And come on up. And just to review, I had Connie take a look at some of those of you who were on the board and those who you weren't. You know, we did withdraw from APA about a little over a year ago, and I'm looking at a September 23rd, 2015 letter under my signature about some of the issues that we were interested in having APA address. And then, you know, I invited Crystal to come back and talk to us, and certainly we're very familiar with the good work that APA does on a lot of levels and see a lot of value for the organization, but we just certainly want to also address the issues that we outlined in the letter. So the floor is yours, Crystal.
Thank you. I do have some other individuals with me to speak, and I'm not sure how you'd like to do it, if you'd like to have us one-on-one or...
Oh, come on down.
I have an A-team with me here. So.
All right.
So, you know, the illustrious Michael Rapido, he's our director of member of public relations, and Hutch is a familiar face. Madeline Hutchison is our director of loss control, and John Sloan, you sure you recognize him? He's the vice president of the APA board of directors, and he's a director on the board of Golden Valley Electric, and he's the chair of our governmental affairs committee and a member of our membership committee.
I don't know, that whole Golden Valley thing is kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Happy to have you guys. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. All right, now I need to figure out how to work this. I'm assuming probably just hit the enter button to advance.
Okay, well, okay.
Here on down, maybe though.
So those of you who have been on the board a long time may know this already, but for new folks like Stuart, by the way, congratulations on your election to the board. 66 years ago, Chugach was one of the original founders of what was then the Alaska Rural Electric Cooperative Association, AREKA. So our history with you goes back to our infancy, and you have always been an active driver in the trade association, even from the very, very early days. If you take a look at the Chugach mission, which I know as directors you probably have memorized, as we have our APA mission statement memorized, but you'll see that our mission in a lot of ways supports your mission, and our mission is to assist our members in accomplishing their goals of delivering electric energy and other services at the best value to their consumers. I hearken us to a one-stop shop for the Alaska Electric Utilities, and essentially, we are here to provide whatever support you may need to carry out your mission. So, just some basic information about our mission, what we do, and your history with us, which goes back a long time. You know, one thing Janet has been really good about communicating with me is APA doing a more enhanced job of communicating value proposition, and I appreciate that. To talk about, you know, what is the value of membership in APA and how could Chugach benefit from that? And if you take a look at the first point, having a voice in the development of policy making for the electric industry, historically Chugach has really spearheaded that on the APA board. We've had very good, very substantive involvement from Chugach general directors and the CEO in contributing to our policy development. And so, should you choose to come back in the association, I would hope that you would consider serving on something such as the Government Affairs Committee, as you did previously, to continue that role. And in several of our policy positions that we still have, there's the Chugach influence because of things that you spearheaded when you were a member. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. Also, you would be part of the statewide forum for networking and information sharing. I think there's a lot of value to directors and to your team in being able to network with other directors, other managers in the industry, and have the resource and information sharing that comes with that. Also, you have participated in our state and federal legislative conferences. This year, again, we had Governor Walker attend and present to our membership. One thing that I think sets our state legislative conference apart, aside from the fact that it's electric utility specific, is that it's an opportunity to have good discussion with policymakers in an interactive format. And so we give them a few minutes. We've gotten away from the talking head format. We do give them a few minutes to communicate their position. And then we pose questions to them, follow-up questions. and it's been a good way to have an interactive dialogue that way, in addition to the meetings that you have while you're in Juneau. We also have a federal legislative conference, and historically, Chugach has sent several directors to that, and we've appreciated it. This year, I'm excited to let you know, we had a very good meeting with the acting FERC chairman, Cheryl LaFleur, and I don't know how much you know about the acting chairman, but she has a strong background in the electric energy industry and was pretty familiar with the issues that we were presenting regarding hydropower and hydro licensing. And it was really a breath of fresh air to talk to someone who had worked in our industry and had an understanding of what it was we were talking about and seemed receptive. So we'll see where it goes, but I think that's part of the benefit of being in a statewide is having access to high-level officials like that. We also had a meeting with the Senior Energy Policy Advisor, Speaker Ryan, and we presented our issues at that meeting. And we also met with RUS, DOE, and FEMA. And that was our first time meeting at FEMA, and we also got an impromptu tour of a couple of their interesting control center type facilities. So again, it was a great conference, and Michael did about a 9-page report on it, what the outcomes were and what we talked about, and if that's something you're interested in, we'd be happy to share it with you so you can see who we met with and what we accomplished while we were there, but it was a good conference. And also, we have added more training and more workshops and seminars, and I will give some of the credit again to Chugach for that, because you have given us some good member input on that, and also, from a financial standpoint, it's been a great source of non-dues revenue. So it's been a win-win, and for both the members and for that statewide. So government advocacy has always been a cornerstone program of APA. We represent our members' interests in Juneau and in D.C. I did mention our state legislative conference, our federal legislative conference, and we have lobbying. We have a three-member advocacy team. We have Larry Markley, who's our longtime lobbyist. He's been with us, I want to say, more than 25 years. And he also does the state and federal lobbying, and then myself and Michael. We have, as you know, and some of this is for your benefit, Stuart, being a new member of the board, not new to APA, because I know you were involved with us when you were back in the day, but we have a PAC. It's the Alaska Committee for the Advancement of Rural Electrification, and our members contribute to that. And then they meet during election years to decide on contributions to State House and Senate candidates who support the issues that are important to the members of APA and your consumers. One thing new that we've added, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on things that you already know about because you've made that pretty clear, Janet, you're very familiar with us, but one new thing that we've added is that we have, during session, weekly teleconferences. They've been Friday mornings at 9, and Michael gives an overview of what happened in the legislature the past week. It starts with a high-level overview, but then it gets specific to Alaska electric industry issues. And then we tie it to our policy positions and what's happening with those. They'll go anywhere from 15 minutes, depending on what's happening, to an hour. And then we take questions at the end. We see this as being another value-added part of APA membership, specifically with regard to our government advocacy program. And I think that's worked out well. And you know that we have e-flashes that go out that are email updates on state and federal legislative and regulatory issues. Talking about strength in numbers, you know, one thing I would like to just kind of have you remember is that there's been a few times when Chugach over the years has approached us about partnering with you on an issue, and we have worked with you and crossed the finish line on those issues and worked collaboratively. And so, again, my hope would be, should you decide to come back, that when you have issues like that, you can work with us and we can help get that through the finish line. Also, I think we're very good at thwarting any kind of what we understand to be legislation that could be harmful to the industry and harmful to consumers. We're also good about that as well. So we'd love to join forces with you on your government relations efforts. And I know you have a very strong program as well. But I would see ours as being a complement to what you have. Policy development, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because several of you have been involved with APA for many years. But I did, again, want to let you know that at the strategic planning retreat that we had back in 2015, and Janet and Cece both participated in that, One of the major developments that came from that was a change in how APA develops policy and communicates it.
Good, that's one of our things on here.
Well,
tell us about that.
Well,
that was one of the topics that we selected to ask you for different reconsideration about. So,
what we've done is we've moved from resolutions to higher level policy positions, and the feedback that you had given at the retreat was, that's one thing the environmental groups are strong at, is agreeing on the high-level positions, keeping those at that level, and then when there are differences in the more granular aspects of those issues, they can communicate those. But having APA communicate at least on the high level on the issues on which we can agree. And so because of that, we moved from resolutions to policy positions. We found that to be more effective. We also have more member engagement in the policy development process. We have the Managers Forum has a work session on the policy issues. They bring, as you know, the management, the regulatory, and the operational perspective to that. Then it goes to our Government Affairs Committee that's headed by John Sloan. It used to be headed by Rick Shikora from Golden Valley for many years, and John's the new chair. And that's the committee that's tasked with developing APA's legislative platform. But really, the buck stops with APA Board of Directors. And so typically, the Government Affairs Committee meets 2 to 3 times to take the manager's input under consideration, gather other input, develop that. Chugach has had a seat on that committee for many years. And then it goes to the Board of Directors for consideration. And it's typically at the board meeting the first week in December is when they make that decision. Talking about statewide and regional issues, as a statewide, you know, we're looking at things from the perspective of what's important to the rail belt is important to us in Alaska. What's important to rural is important to us. And we try to do a very good job of balancing both focusing energies on the rural issues and focusing energies on the rail belt issues. And I think that we've done, you know, a better job these last few years of really making sure we're giving the time and attention to both issues, or to both types of issues, to make sure that the time and energy is being spent adequately in the local area.
Do you mind if we take questions as you go,
sure,
rather than at the end? Susan?
Well, I'm glad you raised that point, because that's the point I was trying to find in the slide. And what I did find was the slide on that we have a special hydropower working group, or a special group. And I wondered if you considered having a special group that would be rail belt, because I see that looks like the only one that's a kind of special group. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was helpful to hear you say that you maybe look at an issue that might affect one group more than another one, to try to sort of step back and to be more and more abstract about it, and then find a way to express it that you can all agree on. That's helpful to know. But did you think about having a rail belt like the hydro group?
You know, we have. In fact, John may want to talk a little bit more about that. But they did discuss that at the executive committee. And, you know, one thing they wanted to avoid was having any kind of duplication between what ARCTEC is doing and what APA would be doing with the rail belt work group. So what the discussion was is the thought would be, well, and I know, I see the look on your face,
yeah,
and I have been following what ARCTEC is working on. To be honest with you, not that I haven't been, but I share your vision of having a rail belt work group within APA. I think we should be the center of that. But I think a pathway forward to accomplishing that would be to have Chugach come back and kind of spearhead that effort, and then work with us to leverage MLMP coming back in the group. And that way, I think we could then justify having a rail belt work group.
So let's explore that a little bit. Of our four things that we listed as areas of concern, one was representative or regional voting. So that kind of dovetails in with this. So we're talking about having, you know, we didn't feel like the existing system was fair, you know, because to know, I mean, if we're a big state with a lot of diversity in it, and to understand everybody's issues and the nuances of each issue so that you could take a position on it, you know, is troublesome, because everybody's really busy with that. And so we thought maybe you would have smaller regional groups that would focus on an issue for a region, and that they would be sort of the genesis of the group that would go and present that to the board, say, hey, the Southeast group thinks blah, 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 as you develop your policy positions. So that is one of the things that we
thought we would really like to see in the railboat, because frankly, our conversations were around, we feel like we get a little bit of a shorter shrift than some of the other regions, even though there's a huge population center here. So that's the long-winded way of saying, is that off the table, on the table, where are you on this whole regional block, if you will, and being at the presenting to the board of directors,
right,
a consensus?
That is actually happening, I would say, organically within the APA, but the executive committee was hesitant to develop that into a specific structure because we have so many committees and work groups. And so I will tell you, during the last policy development process, we did have the railroad utilities working together, and we had the Southeast group working together on the hydro, and some of the other hydro groups working together. So is that happening within APA? Yes, it is. Is it happening in some kind of official committee structure? No. But it is happening within APA.
And so I would add to that, I don't think it's totally off the table. And so it could happen with a little bit more input and some a little bit more direction, and see what people would like to have as far as groups like that involved with APA.
Well, you understand the genesis of that, right? Where that all came from, what our concern is based around. I really don't want to get into that here. I think Crystal understands completely what that was based around. And that needs to be addressed.
I agree with you. I think the pathway forward, though, would be for you to come back and take a leadership role in that and work that from the inside. Because I also see the value in that, and I also would like to see us have a railbelt work group. And I do recognize from the last ARCTEC meeting that, some of the things that they're working on would be different than policy development within
right.
the trade association. So I do understand
right.
and recognize that.
Yeah, I don't see that. I think to advocate that to ARCTEC is not correct.
Right.
But, we haven't had a chance to talk about it as a board, but that's not the way I'm leaning.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Bettina, because you were involved with this. Go ahead, Susan.
How many rail belt utilities are in APA right now?
Golden Valley, Homer, NEA.
So three of the six?
Correct.
Well, you know where it came from. That's still a concern, and I don't want to do it.
We're just here to find out what they
right.
And as John said, that's not off the table, but I think if you come back and you say, this is something we're serious about doing, I will support you in that to the executive committee and to the board, and I will make that promise right here because I share your vision for that. I would like to see APA have a real bad working group. So I will commit that to you.
Okay.
If you champion that with me.
Yeah. Okay, and so let's go back, because I want to make sure we hit all of these things. We said vetting of policy positions, and you touched on that a little bit, so I want to explore that a little bit more. We had kind of talked about a flow chart, and the genesis of that concern too. So we talked about a little bit of a flow chart of how these policy concerns or positions get vetted through all of your members. And so I didn't really... Maybe I don't understand what you told us, but how would that work? Is that different than it used to be, or how does that work? And 111D was the issue that
right.
was
the genesis issue. And we felt like APA represented a position that we did not share.
Right.
Yet we did not have a chance to really participate in setting up that position. Is something different now?
There are several different ways to contribute opinions. Ultimately, the buck stops with the board of directors. And as John mentioned at lunch, when we met at South, there have been more board meetings discussing issues. And I think that because you have raised the issue of that, of the 111D, there's more sensitivity to that than there was previously. But there's ways to contribute input through the managers group, through the Environmental Regulations Committee, through the Government Affairs Committee, and then at the end of the day, the Board of Directors. So there's a lot of different ways that you can contribute an opinion, and that opinion can make its way through the process to the board. And that's the process that, you know, the board stands behind, and mm-hmm. and that's how it works within the organization.
Okay. Susan? Actually, that does raise a question, because I think one of the things that we were concerned about was that we were, you know, one voice, and there were lots and lots of other voices. And so it was the consideration of issues that were important to us. You know, if we go in and there's two of us, and then there are 200, you know, smaller utilities, when the board of directors was reviewing the issues, and they would tend to discount, we thought, I mean, our perception was that the real issues were discounted, or people perceived, members perceived that we would deal with them in some other way. So one of the problems that I think we had talked about was I certainly recognize the strength in numbers argument, but if we can't ever get an issue through the board, what's the point?
Right. So I understand that, Susan, and that was, I think you articulated that very well. But I will have John speak to that as a board member, but I would say, although it was very hard for us and detrimental that you left, I would say one of the positives that came from that, quite honestly, is the sensitivity that it generated within APA for being aware of members' issues and how we deal with that, how we communicate that, and the decision-making process. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about that, John, the board meetings and about things. And
I think you've covered it for
some time. So you get down to, this is important to the rail belt, this is important to rural, this is important to hydro, we got to have a balance,
right.
Come out with our position. I mean, that would be the perfect situation.
Right.
We have to have a balance. We have to represent each one of our sort of classes of members in going, you know, this guy has a, this group has an issue, this group has an issue, this group has an issue. We need to address, you know, in the perfect world, we'd address all three of them. This only affects three members, but 600,000 people.
Right.
But we'll support it as a group.
Yeah, right. But you'd support it as a group.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So tell us a little bit more. You mentioned earlier, and I'm just making sure we hit all the ones that we asked you about, of the vetting at the top policy level, because we may, let's just use USO for the lack of a better term as an example. The railroad utilities may agree in concept, but they may have different views on how that's carried out. And, you know, one of the concerns we had was that APA stick to the top level where there's mm-hmm. consensus. So how is there a change that's been made there to make sure that that sticks at the top level and doesn't get in the weeds where we may have disagreement among the members?
We're still using that. That was agreed upon at the strategic planning retreat where we keep
okay.
things at the high level.
Okay.
It's better for us, and it's better for the Rail Belt members to keep it that way until there's maybe more work in different areas.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so
the last thing we want
continue
to do,
on.
The very last thing we would want to do is we want to complement what it is you're doing on that front, government relations and regulatory. We want to complement that. We do not want to get crosswise with that. And we recognize the complexities and, as you say, the nuances and delivering that information. And we, I think, are very cognizant and sensitive to communicating that at the high level. And Michael, I don't know if you want to add to that as well. We're often together when we're meeting with legislators and regulators.
High-level policy positions gives you an opportunity to have some wiggle room in there to kind of face changing events in Juneau or in the federal government. So if you don't provide, you know, a razor-sharp level of specificity, you can have more, you know, room to kind of adapt to events. So high-level policy positions for APA has been a really good change in that, you know, we can monitor exactly what's happening present tense and then work within that high-level position and have some wiggle room to address it on behalf of our members and, you know, to the betterment of APA. So
how has that changed from what it was? I'm just trying to get, how has it changed from what it was before when we were less than happy with it and now?
Previously, there was a long list of resolutions that got okay. pretty specific, and then you got kind of boxed in a way.
Okay. All right.
Michael, that last year that we were in APA, was that that was the first mm-hmm. year you went to the high level resolutions, right?
It was. On that. And I thought, yeah. Care what I think, but I'll say it anyway. I thought it worked well, and I know you were a brand new board member, but my perception was that you thought it worked well.
Yeah, I thought it was a good. Yeah. It did work well. The process worked well, and I would expect that you've been through two more mm-hmm. cycles, right, since then.
Yeah.
A lot of it's
probably become more refined.
A lot of it's making sure you stick with your timeline so that there's enough time for review amongst the members to provide feedback or, you know, so we can make changes to these, you know, where we're going based on that feedback so that when we get to that December meeting series, it's ready to get an approval, hopefully we're at that level, by the board, and then right the next month we're ready for the legislative session. So we've got to be ready.
Okay. Any other questions so far? Okay, we'll continue.
And I, by the way, I'm sensitive to your time format. How are we doing?
Well, we'd like to move things smartly. smartly.
We'll do a good job at reading your body language so we can follow you on as we move along here.
We try to get out of here before it turns to another day.
Before it gets dark.
Thank you. I did touch on the Government Affairs Committee, so we're going to move on to the Managers Forum. Don't ask me why I thought I'd take that picture. I don't know if I'm daydreaming or what I'm thinking about there. But
that's a good one.
Everyone's engaged.
Everyone's engaged. The Managers Forum, most of you are familiar with it. It's an opportunity for CEOs, including yours, to get together with his peers and talk about the regulatory and operational issues affecting utilities and decide what issues we want to work on together, what issues perhaps are utility-specific. And they have a retreat, and during the retreat, I will say one of the nice things for someone like Lee is to get in a room with your peers, roll up your sleeves, and talk frankly and candidly about what's happening around the state and how things can be improved and what you can work on. And I think there's a lot of good information sharing and consensus building that comes out of that. And so they meet about 3 to 4 times a year. And it's currently chaired, and here again, we have representation by a Rail Belt member, and also Trey, who used to work here back in the day, Trey Atchison of Southeast Alaska Power Agency, such as co-chairs. And we have co-chairs for a couple reasons. One, so that one person isn't overly burdened with trying to be in charge of that group, but two, so that we have, say, one member from one segment of the state and another member from another segment. So there again is that sensitivity to regional issues. So I'm going to move it over to Michael Rivito. However, I would say please thank you for asking us questions, and please continue to do so and post them to whoever you would like in our group here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. So you have some new training in SAGE. I'm just going. Are you still going through your slides?
I am. We can jump ahead, though, if you want.
Yeah. Go very quickly, too.
Yeah.
I think that we understand a lot of this. I mean,
do you want to move on to training?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys
let's
do
that.
Between now and then?
I just like to hear how hydropower came to have a working group.
Okay.
Yeah, I can go through that.
Go ahead. Okay.
So, thanks for having me. Michael Rivito, Director of Member Public Relations. Great to be back in the Chugach Board. So, the hydropower working group is a new working group that was established at the December meeting series this past year. It came about because our active members requested it, essentially. They said we have a significant number of us that have either direct or indirect interest in hydropower. Some of us are owners, some of us are operators, and we like to have a group that can really focus in on that specific aspect of what our members do, essentially. So it's chaired by John Duhamel, who's the CEO of Copper Valley Electric. It reports to the Managers Forum. Like many of our groups, just like the Environmental Regulations Committee, it's under the umbrella of the Managers Forum. So the process by which this group operates is they'll have regular meetings, and if something comes up that provokes action, for instance, we commented recently on a FERC request for information on hydro license terms. So there's been kind of this movement toward a 30-year license term. But we, along with NHA, National Hydropower Association, advocated for a 50-year default term of the license. So the members of the Hydropower Working Group came together. We who wrote a draft comment letter to FERC and has sent it to the managers of APA. And that's the vetting process where the managers of our member utilities look at it, provide them time to either provide feedback or give a, you know, say, absolutely not, I'm not for this, or, you know, I am okay with this. Oftentimes, that if we say, if we don't hear back from you, you know, that's kind of implicit. You reviewed it, you think it's okay. We went through that process and sent it off to FERC with a million other, you know, entities that are commenting. So like our other committees, that's how that came about, was the active members came to us and said, we think there should be a group like this. They presented their case for it to the, you know, to APA. We brought it to the board and said, this group of members would like to have a working group. The board looked at it, thought about it carefully, and moved forward with policy implementing the group.
And it's well attended.
And it is well attended. We have, you know, the meetings, like some meetings are longer, some are shorter. It just depends on kind of what's going on. You know, we will this year, because the first year for the group, develop energy policy positions that will then feed in from the group to the managers forum, to the government affairs committee, you know, get wrapped into whatever policies we come up with, state and federal, and then go to the board in the end. So that's kind of the nutshell story about how the hydropower working group came about.
It's really good to know. Okay.
Yeah, and if you wanted to skip ahead, I think the training and safety.
No, not necessarily. I thought you were finished with your presentation
by saying that,
and then I wanted to go back and ask a couple questions on something I saw. So I wasn't necessarily looking at skipping ahead. I was just like, oh, you're done? So I had questions previously. Okay, so go ahead, continue.
We'll keep going. So the Environmental Regulations Committee, which we just say ERC, is a little less of a mouthful. I kind of mentioned that this is a longstanding committee of APA. It meets quarterly, or sometimes it'll meet more if there's something happening. Tracy Bradford from Matanuska Electric Association is the current chair, and Corrine Palacios is the co-chair, actually. She's from Copper Valley. We hold annual workshops as one of the big things that we do during the year. The past one was in May, where we had we had kind of the worker bees from ADEC and Army Corps of Engineers come in, and these were your permitting people. So we were able to get the permitting folks from those two agencies in who work very closely with our members that frequently have to have interaction with these agencies when they're doing some sort of project. It was a really good opportunity for our members to hear from the people who are making the decisions on the permits, and also to do some networking and interfacing with these people and getting to know them. We also had a waste management section that day. And I should back up and mention, you know, everyone knows APA is a member-driven organization, so what you see in these committees is all member-driven. Even for the workshop, we get together with the ERC committee at the beginning of each year, and we say, what should we do in the workshop in May? What's going on in our member utilities? What are the issues you're facing? Bring these to us, and then staff carries that forward to set up speakers, bring in presentations that's relevant, because we want to be relevant to our members. If they're going to spend the time and money to come to a seminar or a workshop APA is putting on, we want it to be relevant to what's occurring right now within our membership.
And, you know, you wouldn't think that waste management would be a very sensitive topic, but it is.
They loved it.
It was very interesting and engaging and a lot of good information in there.
Yes, and I learned a few things about transporting waste over water and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. We developed comments on regulatory issues. Once again, ERC is under the umbrella of the managers' forum, so before those comments are sent to the agencies, we send them out to the managers and explain. Kind of an explainer, here's what these comments are meant for, they're attached, please provide feedback or any sort of comments along those lines. And it's been you get your policy wonk staff into this committee from our members. It's a really neat committee. I'll move on to training and safety. You see some red words saying new. These are all new things within the last year, and some actually not yet occurred, the pot and power workshop, which we'll get to. So training and safety, I think everyone in here most likely has taken an NRECA director training.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really popular. Actually, the next one on September 13th is called Communicating Outside the Boardroom. And it's about communicating as a board member to the members of your co-op. Really excited to put that on. That's in conjunction with our annual meeting in Kodiak. We'll look forward to some of these other items on here. Once again, member-driven. So a new seminar, a new event we had this year was the APA Legal Workshop for CEOs and Supervisors. And this came about because we had member CEOs and manager staff come to us and say, you know, there's these topics, these legal issues, these kind of workplace issues that come up repeatedly, you guys should put on a workshop addressing these things and bring in an expert to talk about it, and we can network off of this. So we put on a two-day workshop that was taught by Andy Lehman of Kemple, Huffman, and Ellis, who's been APA's longtime counsel, and it looked at topics ranging from everything from workplace harassment, employment issues, union negotiations, sick leave, things along those lines. It was a really interesting 2 days worth of legal seminars that our members really liked, and again, it came from the membership. Another new workshop that we have is the APA Safety Summit. We had about 25 people, including CEOs, come to this year. This was back in April. And this again came from the membership. They said, we all want a culture of safety. So APA, help us put on something. Help us bring in speakers so we can look at these things and really learn from our peers. So we brought folks up from Lower 48. We worked closely with NRCA and Federated, which Hutch will talk about a little bit later, to bring up these experts to talk about culture of safety, talk about what's working. You know, we all want to keep our employees safe, and APA, as our mission statement goes, we want to help our members do that. So that was something that came from our membership, and so we put it into play. Don't have to tell anybody at this table that marijuana is legal in the state of Alaska now, and our members are dealing with providing services to marijuana grow operations, and there's a lot that goes with that between hooking up and dealing with the money and things on those lines. So we partnered for this workshop with NWPPA. In December, we're going to have the first Pot and Power workshop in Alaska, which will explore issues around what our members are dealing with. You hear it from where I live up in Palmer. There's grow operations they're putting in. Fairbanks, I know, has some. And we got one two doors down from us at APA. So, So this is going to look at the new landscape of this phenomenon. Go ahead.
Who will that all be open to? We have visitors that are growers or?
We're working on the content, Harry, but that's the plan. We're working with NWPPA, but we will invite some growers, commercial growers, to be speakers. So
yeah,
that's part of the plan, is to look at it holistically.
Get a little bit of interaction between the growers and the power providers. The remaining topics on this slide are kind of our long-standing ones. The APA Accounting and Finance Workshop is our annual two-day workshop. Last year, we had almost 50 members that attended that, and actually a couple of employees from Chugach came as non-member attendees, so we thank you for sending them. And that's, you know, right in the weeds of accounting and financing topics that our members deal with daily. The Communicators Forum is one of my loves, being the PR guy, and that looks at member relations and public relations topics and practices, best practices. This past year, we had speakers from NRECA come up. We had topics on crisis communication. This year, we're looking at communicating the renewable energy landscape. Renewables are a big topic amongst all of our members, and Crystal and I go to a lot of our member annual meetings throughout the state, and at every one that I went to this year, the membership of our members during comment time wanted to know about what their utility was doing with renewables. So it is a new topic that is a popular topic, and so at the Communicators Forum, we're going to look at communicating this to our members, this integration of renewables, what it means, how do we convey the sometimes complex nature of putting renewables on your system to the public that just wants to do what's best, you know, for, in their mind, for the environment or for their bill or whatever. So we're developing that agenda. Online safety training videos, we do have a streaming video service that is part of the membership, and this is training videos for, there's hundreds of them out there, all manner of training aspects that an employee of our member utilities might need. We offer this to our members free of charge, and it's an effort to save our members money, and hopefully they can find what they need on that streaming video library and not have to pay extra, you know, to go get this training or to satisfy an aspect of their job that maybe they can just do it here through online training. And that's been revamped. That's actually quite nice. My last slide, and then I'll be quiet and hand it over. We always like to put a little plug in anywhere we go for our annual meeting. This year is our 66th annual meeting. It'll be in Kodiak, Alaska, September 13th to 15th. We're really excited. It's a great venue, and we have a lot of engaging topics and speakers. We have a gentleman named Richard Lusk from Oak Ridge National Laboratory who literally wrote the book on drone use in electric utilities. This is a new technique that a lot of electric co-ops and utilities are using around the country to use drones to inspect their transmission or distribution lines. And he's written a book based on how they should, you know, best practices to use drones. We're also going to have presentations on battery energy storage systems, community solar, electric vehicles, kind of the new energy landscape and what's going on. And we want to develop, we've developed good content for our members on looking toward the future and kind of futuristic developments within our industry. So really looking forward to that, and you know, it's always a good show and good time to see folks from around the state.
We'd love for you to come.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to take any questions. I'm going to hand it over to Hutch for his two slides that he's going to do, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to address them.
Questions?
You want me to
advance? No. Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Board, for having us here today. And I was doing the math earlier today, and it came to mind that 3.5 years ago was the last time I spoke to you folks.
Yeah.
And thank you again for having me. And I'll keep in mind what my boss used to tell me back in the day, which was, Hutch, keep it short. Tell them what they need to know, and we'll get on.
All right.
Thank you, Tyler. That's great advice. So to get through this in a reasonable amount of time, let's just hit the high points. One is our safety committee. We reactivated the safety committee back in 2016. It is a committee of the APA Managers Forum. We meet a minimum of twice a year. If the Managers Forum or the chair decides that we need to meet more often, we can at their call. We basically monitor and keep track of existing and proposed safety regulations, and currently we have 7 people on the committee. And there is a minimum by our policy how many members we should have on the committee. However, there is no maximum, and we encourage the utilities who wish to participate, because we know as we get a larger group of people with more experience comes better understanding. With better understanding comes better results, we believe. One of the things we've done, I believe, since you've been a member of APA, was partnered with a company called Federated Rural Electric Insurance Cooperative, or excuse me, Exchange, and we call them Federated. They're a large insurer of utilities in the lower 48. And the reason I bring that up is because on the safety and loss control side, they've given us 2 really important pieces of information that we have access to as a statewide organization. One is near miss reporting. Under their program, any cooperative can report on their system, without naming names, without naming cooperatives, events that happened that could have caused serious injuries or possibly fatalities had things gone differently. And what happens now is Federated sends those reports quarterly. I get a copy of those, and then when I get them, I then disseminate the information out. The reason I think that is so important is it's a learning experience. We should really take a deep, deep look into the events that could cause serious injuries or fatalities. And by doing so, we could prevent a large number of these. Secondly, they provide on a as-needed basis what they call the application guide for the 2017 National Electric Safety Code updates. And this is a great visual product, because what it does is it gives people in the field the ability to see what proper clearances are out in the field for a number of applications. And so again, when these are made available, I just turn right around and send them out to our membership so that they have access to this really good and useful information. I go out and do member observations throughout the state as part of my job. And one of the things I look for are public safety issues. And one of the important parts of that is clearance heights on our conductors. And these products here provide me a great tool to give to individuals who may not be extremely well-versed in these such things, you know, as your engineering department and your crews are. But it's always an opportunity to have good information available and send it out. Additionally, we partner with NRECA to participate in the RESAP program. The RESAP program is the Rural Electric Safety Achievement Program. For those of you who have been involved in this in the past, it used to be very cumbersome on the paperwork side of things. generally, a team comes into the member utility to perform the observation, and that has not changed. What has changed is that we now use local individuals to make up the team when we can, instead of bringing people from out of state. In the past, what's happened is the utility being observed has the responsibility for the financial resources. Basically, they'll pay lodging, travel, meals, all that stuff. We believe by training and having a pool of locally trained individuals, then the cost would be substantially lower for you. And hopefully that will be something that you could participate with us if we prefer as a member, because there would not be a fee other than minimal travel expenses. But if there were a decision made not to join us at this time, then certainly we could contract with you to provide the services. However, we prefer to have you on board and not have to charge for that. Lastly, I'd like to talk to Speak Up, Listen Up. Speak Up, Listen Up is a program where individuals throughout the entire organization are empowered to speak up when they see something not being done safely. You, as an organization, have looked at a couple different programs whereby you can take varieties of processes and programs, implement them to help the culture within your organization. Well, this particular program is very reasonably priced, much, much cheaper than some of the other programs that she's looked at in the past. And not only does it empower the individual to speak up, it also empowers the individual to become a better listener, a more effective listener, to tear down the barriers of defense, because we need to be open to communication. If there's something I'm not doing right, I want to be told I'm not doing it right. If I'm doing something well, I enjoy being told that I'm doing it well. And that's pretty much how most people work. And so by going through the program, we become better communicators, we become a safer utility, and ultimately it's a well-received program throughout the United States. And then, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And then lastly, I just would like to wrap things up with the second bullet on that slide speaks to strengthening leadership engagement. And basically what that does is if you elect to get back into the RESAP program, then basically the board would be asked to do a resolution committing to the program. And I could provide you information if you'd like that at a later date. And we could talk about it again if necessary. And it just really is an awesome program. It's top-down driven. And with good leadership here that you have, it could be very effective for your employees. Thank you. That's all I have. Any questions?
So, again, thank you very much. And I'd like to, if all right, give Mr. Sloan here a few minute or two to address you from the board perspective.
Well, you gave it away. I was going to say we're almost halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
The consensus of the APA board is that we want to invite Chugach back to the APA. And we sincerely value your input and your participation in issues not only in the rail belt, but also in the smaller non-rail belt utilities. And with all is said from Michael, Crystal, and Hachir, I believe that in order to elicit change in an organization, you need to be present at the table. And so I encourage you to become a member of APA and make this a really great association. Thanks for having us here tonight, and thanks for listening to us. We appreciate it, and we hope you enjoy this.
Okay. Comments or questions for the group?
Great.
Well,
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
You.
And really appreciate you coming back and talking with us about this. And we'll get back to you. How about that?
All
right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know where to find it.
You know, we do know where to find you. Absolutely. Thank you all. Thank you all. Okay. So let's move on to item under new business, item B, capital credits allocation. Mr. Miller.
Hi. Good afternoon. This item represents our 2016 allocation of capital credits to the wholesale customer sewer electric system and 2-gauge retail customers. The one thing that's important to note is that this is not a retirement, simply an allocation for capital credits or margins that will be retired in the future. It's determined by the board. The allocations are consistent with what's been done in the past. In 2015, we did, however, have MetNeast Electric, and they purchased a portion of power during the year. The allocations were provided to the sewer electric system on May 26th, and they were also notified that the allocations would be provided to you for approval during this evening's board meeting. And we're not aware of any outstanding issues or areas of concern regarding the allocations. And what approval does is it allows us to assign the patronage or the equity associated with 2016 margins to each patron of the association. And once approved, we will notify each individual member on the 2-GAT system what the allocation amount is. And the allocation amount will also be identified on a separate kind of certificate and what's being contemplated to provide each customer. And then in addition to that, they will be notified on their customer bill. And then on the My Account program, we'll also have each member, as we talked about previously, will be able to access and know what their accumulated equity is at 2-GAT. And then in addition to that, inactive members will also be sent a letter notifying members if we have their address of record of what their allocation would be or is during the year. And we'll also provide the sewer electric a copy of the approved board resolution.
And when will we be taking action to actually cut the checks? Is that, we're allocating 20
to
here.
25 years?
25 years from now? Okay, well, stand by.
Unless all right. We change our retirement, as we talked about earlier, about doing a different retirement approach.
I still have those certificates, you know, those from back in the day, little Fleur de Lis things around them. They're really nice. Okay, so can I have a motion, please?
I move that the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution authorizing 2015 capital credit allocation in the amount of $5,784,066 to 2-GAT retail members and $29,790 to Seward Electric System.
Second. And is a motion a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you.
Well, I'll wait by the mailbox. All right, with that, let's move on to annual meeting plan. Julie, is that you? Who?
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Come on down.
I see Haskin and Andrews. So I'm pretty sure those are the
two
of you.
Yeah.
All right.
Julie and Tyler.
All right. Tell us about it.
So we had an item that we agreed to prepare a plan for next year's annual meeting. So the attached memo is the work of a number of folks, Julie and Teresa and other people who have input on the annual meeting. And so these are the changes that we believe will learn from what we did this last go. And we think to make some more improvements on the improvements that we added this year with the community participation and those kinds of things. So the way the scorecard is written, you all need to, that's a resolution regarding this plan.
We have to have a resolution regarding the plan?
Yeah.
And if I may just add, we took your comments with you.
Yeah.
Took notes, and I hope that we reflected the improvements that you wanted to make for next year.
Okay, here's the resolution.
Yeah. And so we can still tweak this. We don't want to be set in stone. I think we'll have more good ideas, but we wanted to capture the feedback you guys gave us and we had internally. So we did at least least have a solid start for next year.
That's good. Logo wear. Local wear.
For all the employees, so they're easily identifiable as a true gap. If you have a question or need some orientation, build some teamwork to it.
So why are we doing this resolution now if we're not quite finished collecting ideas and stuff? What is the need for a resolution here or a motion?
I don't think we're going to have significant changes beyond this. But I would note, like, for example, the final bullet says consider celebrity MC. That is something that we would have to work out and make sure that we are in compliance with the bylaws and the chair still runs the meeting. But that was an idea that we wanted to ask you all to consider to see if that would help us keep the meeting moving along.
I think the scorecard actually puts July 15th as a day when you have to have a plan.
It does.
So that's what, yeah.
Oh,
so
we bet.
It's on the scorecard. You need a plan by July 15th, so we have a plan, and that's kind of how we got here.
So doing a resolution to adopt the plan.
Yeah. But I just didn't want you guys to think if we have a great idea, we can't add it.
Okay.
I will say that I don't think it's necessary for the board to have a motion. I think the idea was to present the information to the board and make sure that you're in agreement. We certainly want your ideas and want to make sure that you've adopted, you know, what we put forth. But we can certainly, I don't know that you need to pass a resolution. We just want to make sure that you have the information that you need to make sure we have a successful annual meeting next year.
Okay. I think I would rather not do a motion, but Susan?
Well, I just wanted to comment on a celebrity MC. I just don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
I think somebody like you, perhaps, who is a communicator, could stand up there and say, well, let's move along. Because it is true that if you're up there, you want to get your whole speech out, and you may not realize that people are starting to snore. And so I'm not objecting to the idea that somebody's got the hook or someone could add a point of levity or jump up and tell a joke if the mic isn't working. But I don't think we should have a... It's not that kind of an event where you would have an external professional...
No, I think our...
reality TV.
No, a couple of our members, like, just for sake of discussion, Maria Downey and Jackie Purcell are both Chugach members. They're both also professional communicators who MC on a regular basis. We were just toying around with something like that, but...
Well, I guess that's the reason why I don't want to make this as a motion, because that sets this as the criteria then.
Yeah.
I would rather say we like these ideas and let's work along those lines if that meets the needs. Does that meet the need of what we need to do? What do you guys think? I'm looking over here at the left.
I think it does meet the need, because this is coming off the scorecard on the CEO. Things which I don't think we have to do a resolution on each one as we progress through the year.
Do we need anything? I don't remember from past years how formal to actually set the date to push the notice to the members. The actual date, not the plan.
We need the date more for a reservation space.
Right.
But
yeah.
The notice to members comes later.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, other than that, I'm not. I agree. We don't have to have a motion. I like the plan. I like all the suggestions. I've been supportive of the ones that kind of pertain to my position. I agree that we can improve that.
And we did pick the date also based on we're not on graduation week. We're not on the last day of school. So I think we found that sweet day to have the meeting.
So does any of the board members here feel that we need a motion to codify this somehow or have opinion one way or the other?
This falls under the category of small stuff.
Yeah. So let's not have a motion. So let's just talk about it. Let's have this discussion only. Let's discuss this plan. Does anybody have any issues with the plan? Other than that celebrity thing, I really don't want this to be reality TV. I've just got, I'm picturing, I don't know what I'm picturing. I,
Mr. White Keys.
Yeah, no, I mean, okay, not something like that. We don't want to make it a clown show. We don't want to make this so colloquial that we act like, you know, silly billies up there, of course. So does anybody else have anything, any other comments on the plan? I think it captures, thank you for capturing the comments that we had, so I think you've got that there for your working model. I think in the data it looks good. So I think from that standpoint, I think we can cross that off of Lee's list that you've done what you're supposed to do as, yet it has some flexibility in it.
And certainly we can make adjustments, and this is an opportunity for you to see it, and we can add to it at any time. So
just note, we want to know what celebrity really means.
Yeah,
you know, we don't want some talking chimpanzee up there. I mean, so, other than me and Lee. Okay, so without doing a motion, I think we agree and appreciate this agenda.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. All right, moving right along, that's the annual meeting plan. The next thing we have scheduled is executive session. So let's have a motion to go into executive session.
I move that pursuant to the law, statute 1025-175-C1 and 2. The board of directors go into executive session to one, discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative, and two, to discuss personnel matters that may be prejudicial to the reputation or character of the person. However, the person may request a public discussion.
Second.
Okay, I heard a second over in the baritone row, so a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, we are in the executive session. There's no further unfinished business. Let's do director comments. Harry, I can tell you're ready to go.
Well, I am ready to go.
Been for a while.
Once again, I'm happy and proud to be a member of this board because we go in depth on questions and I think we do make great efforts to do the right thing. I really appreciate being aligned with you folks.
Thank you, Cece.
We've been at it for a lot of hours. I don't remember, you know, what we started with before executive session, but I did want to say thank you for all the materials and all the work that went into it. I look forward to getting more familiar with the format with which we receive information and being able to annotate and quickly find things so that I do know.
Thank you. Bettina?
I don't really have anything to add. I thought it was a great meeting. I told my husband that for sure it was going to be long. And I said the only way it could have been longer is if we started at 3, but we're going to get out of here.
Sorry.
So it's good. And I do like this new board packet. I love the way that you can write notes, and it's great. We'll take a little bit of
time. Part of our training tonight was to let you know that you can go in and make annotations on documents, but should I change that document because of a typo or whatever, it will wipe out your annotations.
Is there any way we can do a save and have a personal save?
I have a meeting tomorrow where we're going to try to do a subsection if I have to repost a document, because I have no idea of knowing when you've gone in and made notations for documents. So to avoid that, we're going to try to come up with subsections that could make word packets a little bit longer. But it's not like we change a lot of stuff out.
Or if it's something important page that you wanted to remember, you made that comment, you can take a screenshot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Take a screenshot.
Yeah. But I just wanted you to be aware of that, that if you went in and you're like, well, where's my notes? Because we were supposed to go into all of that tonight, but you guys didn't want to do that.
Well, we were going to be here for a
while.
Okay, we'll try to do that at the beginning of next meeting. Are you finished, Bettina?
Yes.
Okay, Susan.
Well,
Well, I agree with Harry. It's wonderful to serve on this board with all these great people, and you know, everyone makes a contribution. But I wanted to particularly note that I thought in our discussions tonight that we were very, I noticed how well we get along. You know, everyone is thick-skinned, and everyone can express comment about the idea without anyone else being offended. And I think that shows real maturity and respect and confidence for each other, including you, Lee. So I think that's really terrific.
Well, I do not have anything to add to this love fest, but clearly, no, you know, it's always a pleasure, and I always feel like we've accomplished a lot when we get through all of this, and appreciate everybody's efforts. So with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
motion, second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we're adjourned.
Well,